Hi, Pastor Bob. We are so blessed you've decided to dig into the fruit of the Active Word Broadcast Ministry. Now, of course, it's our heart and it's our hope to help you grow in the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and how he wants to work in your life. If, in fact, we're successful, would you be so kind? Drop us a line, make a phone call. And if, in fact, there's a way we can serve you better, we'll know this. It's our goal. God bless you.
Father, we thank you this day for this, your house, a place where our heart feels at home. It is for so many a refuge, a sanctuary, sometimes a hiding place, where you choose to, with your spirit, recharge, refuel, renew. And that's our prayer, God, for some of us, maybe many. Been a tough week. And right now to find peace and joy, power. God, we pray, fill us, your people, afresh with all the Holy Spirit necessary to make a difference in our world. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. My 8-year-old daughter, Caitlin, is learning to crochet. Yes. And what does that mean? My daughter Caitlin is learning to crochet. Well, like most kids, you start with a lot of fervor and excitement. Sometimes, however, you start to slow with a little, well, frustration and indifference. Why? Well, I want to draw your attention to Caitlin's crochet bag. On the one hand, and in that hand, we have the source or the stock. It's the idea. Yes, I will make something, Daddy. On the other hand, we have the ideal. Yes, it's on its way to becoming a finished product. But somewhere between the idea and the ideal is an interruption. Yeah, something happened here in the middle of the bag, and now we've got headphones attached to... We have got, I want to make, look what I made, this is a mess. Now, hang in there. In months to come, I'm certain we will have Caitlin Elizabeth originals available in the bookstore for you. But right now, there's a problem. And what is that problem? Well, Katie told me it was a problem with the yarn. Dad, I have a problem with the yarn. I see you have a problem with the yarn, Kate. What is all that? It just gets so, well, Dad, it's so snarled and tangled and entwined and twisted. Look, Dad. Well, tell you what, why don't you just sit over there for a second, give this to Dad. Oh, no, Dad, I can help. And as she hopes to help, I find sometimes, no. Please sit back and help. Sit back and help me by staying away while I work on this big mess. You see, I must confess, this is not the first mess. No, I did this before. In fact, she started learning to crochet on that Mexican adventure. And listen, the first ball of entangled twine from Mexico to Dallas, from Dallas to Fort Lauderdale, Daddy did his best. Christian, it's one thing if you waste or wreck a ball of yarn, but what if this in some way described your life? Oh, all of us come into this expression, I have an idea, and I hope for an ideal. But for too many here today, there's an interruption. An intrusion of sorts. It may be a business deal that just seems so twisted. It might be a relationship that seemingly is so snarled. And right now, I need some help. Somebody help me. Now, your Heavenly Father wants you to untangle this. But every once in a while, it might be you need to sit back and give him some space. Oh, on that airplane. Caitlin, you're in row 18. Stay in D. I'm in 18. I'll be in B. And give me some space. Oh, no, Dad, I'll help. No, no, right now. Again, I would rather you didn't help. Let me have a little time with it. Well, what we could do is we could just, well, put the whole thing away. And I could, and she would, of course. Let's just, never mind. No. That's what too many of us choose to do. Our life is tangled and snarled. But we really don't want the Father to help. No, God, step back. I'll take care of this. And things just get all the more knotted. The problem gets bigger. And sometimes we won't even hide the problem from those who, I don't have a bag. I don't have a mess. Praise the Lord. God bless you, bro. Hey, how's it going? Dude. What's that behind your back? Oh, that's just my life. But never mind. Do we need to talk about this right now? Yes, we need to talk about it. Why? Everybody's got a bag. Everyone has a bag. For some of you, it's a designer bag. You've got one designer mess, don't you? Yeah. For others, it's a little tiny bag. We've dealt with some issues. We're willing to admit, yeah, there's still some things I need to work on. Some of you have a grocery bag. It's not very attractive. It's kind of hanging. You know what I mean? Some of you have, yes, a little bag. Some of you have baggage. Big bags with zippers and compartments. But what if you fake like you don't? What if you just say, no, I'm fine, everything's okay, but deep inside you know your life today looks like this. Something's going to happen. The first of three, I know you are going to. There's a tendency in all of us to just, well, we get a little negative. We begin to cop an attitude. And that attitude, if we don't give it to God, giving Him the grace, the time, the space to untwist this, well, there's a tendency for us to just say, oh man, I hit another knot. I got another snarl. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of knots. I got a lot of snarls. And now our commentary, our critique, our vibe, it's the same. The bag we're holding is now the word we're sharing. And it complicates the issue. You see, with that change of attitude and this negativity, although we need help, we're actually dissing the people or pushing away the people that could help. Why? Well, because, you know what? Let me tell you what happened yesterday. And quite honestly, they don't want to hear what happened yesterday. Why? You're not releasing to the Father for something divine, some intervention that would truly change this snarled, tangled mess. No, as you continue to hang on to it, what happens? You get close enough to somebody. Can I share something with you? Well, yeah, you can. What's up, dude? Oh, man. Praise the Lord. You need a counselor? Can I take you to benevolence? I mean, what is that all about? Well, suddenly, at your greatest moment of need, you find out people are starting to back away from you. Why? Well, they discover that when they want to pray with you, or pray for you, and give this over to God, you're hanging on to it, and now it's become your identity. And now that it's become your identity, everybody knows you've got a problem. He's a little twisted. Yeah, he is. She's a bit snarled. Oh, absolutely she is. But she won't give it to God. So now you begin to isolate. And now you begin to separate. Why? Well, because people are moving past you and not seeming to care. And now that's another knot in your life. I had a problem. That was one knot. But I made things all the worse and made it a bigger mess because, well, people just wouldn't help. And now what's happening? And the sad footnote to this is you find yourself living less a life. You find yourself living a life that's lacking. You find yourself now, even maybe today, I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to even talk. I'm not even going to share. And now you're just holding your bag. It's a big problem. You won't give it to God, but you look at life with glasses that are so colored with hues and fog that although I'm talking to you right now, you know that it's you. You don't even want to give God the chance to change it. Today, in his house, with his heart being shared from the pulpit by a person who says he wants to. He's a father.
I don't know if I want to try. You see, I hate crocheting.
You don't hate crocheting. I hate. No, you hate the snarls. You hate the tangle. You hate the twist. But you really don't. Wouldn't you like to? Wouldn't it be wise? Rather than for you to say, I don't date anymore. I got too many knotted relationships. I don't vacation anymore. I've had too many bad experiences. I don't talk anymore. Too many people judge what I say. Rather than do that and now live a life that's so less or lacking, wouldn't it be wiser for you today to say, God, all right, I admit it. And if everybody has one of these, maybe mine's a bigger mess, but I don't mind admitting, God, I made a mess. If you don't want to do that, if you're still going to hang on, let me tell you something, you're disconnect. There's been a disconnect from you and God. You pulled the plug and you have no power. And because you have no power pulling the plug, your compass is broken. And now with your bag, there's this aimless direction in your life. And you go, I don't even know. I don't even know if I'm going to go back to church. And I appreciate your back, but I'm trying this one more time. I don't know if this is going to work. Oh, wait, don't do that. Don't do that. No. See this for what it is. A warning sign from God. You are in a backslidden state, and you're getting closer to living a life that truly, truly is missing what matters most. And that's His hand fixing, rearranging, untangling in a very constructive way that which matters most to you. You get one crack at this. It's your life. And you got to be willing to allow Him to change that. If not, well, sadly, we see Solomon, the wealthiest, wisest of all, now becomes the, well, he becomes the weariest whiner of all. Because he's in this backslidden state. To make sure that doesn't happen to you, the first of five, you are in a backslidden state if, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. What's that? Yes, you're in a backslidden state. Jot it down. If, in fact, blessings seem as baggage to you. Blessings seem as baggage to you. Did you see those blessings? One, he says, I'm a preacher. That means I enjoy the power of God coursing through my mouth with the capacity to change the life of someone else. But right now, I'm a preacher. Oh, man, I'm a preacher. I have to preach. I don't just have one service. I got four services this weekend. I did this Saturday night. I did this morning. I'm doing it now. I'm going to do it again. I'm a preacher. Vanity of vanities. Meaningless, meaningless in newer translation. Utter meaningless in the New Living Translation. I'm a preacher. He says it's worse than that, though. I'm not just a preacher. I'm the son of David. What's the problem, Psalm? I'm the son of David. Everyone keeps on comparing to me to my dad. Everybody expects me to be just like my dad. Oh, my dad write lots of psalms. Now they expect me to write psalms. Hey, Solomon, how about a song? I don't have a song, okay? I'm his son. I'm not David. Get off my back. And it's worse than that. I'm not just a preacher. I'm not just the son of David. I'm also the king of Jerusalem. You know what it's like to live the life of a king? Oh, hey, king, hey, king. What do you do with your stuff, king? How much stuff you got, king? I'm sick of it. Vanity, vanity. Meaningless, meaningless. I hate it. I don't know about you, but every once in a while someone say, what's it like being, pastor of Calvary Chapel? And it's as if they're waiting for that, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? You know what I mean? Here's what I say. Glass half full. Glass half empty. I got water. That's what I know. I got water. I haven't taken the time to analyze all that extra stuff. I got water. That's what I know. Now, it's disappointing that Solomon doesn't see it as that. You're the king, Solomon. You're the son of David, son. You're the preacher, son. Can't you do something good with that? No. Vanity, vanity. Meaningless, meaningless. Chasing after the wind. Your compass is broken. Your disconnect from God. No one would feel that way in the face of blessing. Blessing? I found blessing comes in three forms. You either have platform, prosperity, or popularity. That typically runs that way. You either have platform, your senator, your congressman, your principal, your CEO. Maybe it's prosperity. You have how much money? Dude, how did you do that? It's popularity.
Yeah, people just like me. I don't know what it is, but people just like me.
Now, when you have been given by the grace of God popularity, prosperity, or platform, that's a good gift. What you choose to do with it? Well, sadly, sometimes we choose to look at the negative rather than the positive, and that's when we know our compass is broken. That's when we know we're disconnected from God. Why do I believe that? Keep your place in Ecclesiastes. It's James 1 and 17. Look at the way this reads. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now, before we go into the 18th verse, draw your attention once again, 17. We got to really dig deep. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. I don't understand that, Pastor Bob. Oh, a newer translation puts it this way. Everything great in life comes from God, and he doesn't have a dark side. Oh, I like that much more. God doesn't have a dark side. Exactly. If there's a dark side to your platform or your prosperity or your popularity, you did that. Oh, you can give glory to God and enjoy platform, prosperity, and popularity. And as long as he is the one honored with that, you can joy in this thing called life. But if you look at the other side, it's interesting. I was watching this interview with First Lady Laura Bush. And the question was asked, hey, what is it like to really, you know, be married to the President of the United States? What I didn't hear her say is this. Oh, man, Secret Service is everywhere. We never get any privacy. That house is huge. There's way too many rooms. I've not even been to the East Wing in a week. Oh, man, they're asking me to talk everywhere. Laura, talk. And not only that, they're making fun of my husband lately, and I'm starting to get better. She didn't say any of that stuff. You know what she said? She said, I'm humbled and honored to be the First Lady. And I'm so proud of my husband for all of his accomplishments. I know his heart. And she kind of launched out into a, well, it was for her that sense of, oh, I can't believe I get to be, this is just an amazing spot to live in. And at this time in my life, for our generation, it was like, wow, boy, she sure is seeing it from, exactly. Christian, how about you? You say, I don't have any money, Pastor Bob. Is that really baggage? Is that a blessing? I mean, think about it. If you have no money at all, you don't have to worry about where to spend it. Bob, you might want to think about a different illustration for the next service. That didn't go that well. No, here's my point. I know people that have a lot of money, and it bugs them. I know people that have no money, and it bugs them. Now, you think you get both people together and everybody'd be happy. No. Happiness is not found in having little or having more. Happiness is found in your relationship with God. And if your relationship with God is one where you're disconnected, if your compass is broken, let me tell you something. You know what you're going to say? You're going to say, who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? I'm a preacher. I'm king of Jerusalem. I'm son of David. Who cares? Who cares?
What else will you say? It's Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Move with me this time. It's verse 3. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? And again, what profit has a man from all his labor which he toils under the sun? That's very, very important. In fact, you could underline that three-word phrase, under the sun. It appears in the book Ecclesiastes 22 times. Under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. And that's part of his problem. His focus is here, planet Earth. I have a tendency to look over the sun or beyond the sun, on into the heavenlies, where I know my inheritance waits for me. If all I'm going to do is focus here on planet Earth, I will say to you, I will be singing the backslider blues. Why? If it's really all about Earth? Are you serious? If it's all about Earth and there is no eternity, follow the flow. You're born. You come here with nothing. Your parents do their best to educate you so you can earn a living, so you can have something. So then you have something, you make yourself someone, and now you begin to collect your stuff. Now, you're so successful, you collect so much stuff that you don't know where to put all your stuff. So you have a 3-car garage and you rent some storage space to keep all your stuff. Then you get a little older and you realize stuff's not that important. You sell some of your stuff. You even move out of your 3-car home. And what you do? Well, you find yourself in a condominium. And whether you've sold it or given it away, you now find yourself leaving the condominium and you're now in a retirement home. And now you've just got a closet full of stuff. And then you die. Thanks, Pastor Bob. Come back from vacation with a bunch of real, well, thanks for the warm fuzzies, dude. I don't know what that was all about. You keep that track, we'll all have suicidal tendencies. That's the whole point. If it's all about here, sincerely, I want to check out sooner. Why? It's got to be more. If all we do is get born, collect stuff, give stuff away, and die. Ah, of course we'd stay with Solomon. What profit is to a man when he lay? Why? And if, in fact, in the first subsection, we ask ourselves the question, who cares? In this subsection, we say to ourselves, why should I? Why should I? You ever had your son or daughter at teenage age say, why should I? And it's hard for you if, in fact, it's only from a human perspective to give them a good answer. Well, why should I live a righteous life? Because it's nice to be good. Why should I get a promotion? Why does it matter if I have more money? So I can buy more stuff that I have to take care of, that I have to maintain, that I have to pay insurance for? Why should I? You see how cynical you can get? Just so critical you become? No. You need to have a little heart from him on this subject to give you understanding beyond planet Earth. On the other side of the sun, the kingdom of God, I'd ask you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, drawing your attention to verse 22. Here's the way that it reads. Bondservants. Older translation, slaves. Oh, we might say employees. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. For whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Christ. Absolutely. You can't see yourself serving that man, that woman on planet Earth if, in fact, all you're doing is serving them. Here's what you have to do. Come on back. What you have to do is you have to take the image of Christ and put it right over the face of your employer.
Bob, that's blasphemy.
What are you doing?
I work for the devil, dude.
No. And I realize for some of you, putting the face of Christ on your boss is like, no! Ah! No, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying for many of you, you have to get your mind off of the fact.
I got this job, and I work for this guy, and I don't like how much money I...
No. If that's the case, I understand how you feel that way. Of course you feel that way. Why, it would seemingly be kind of empty if, in fact, it was limited to planet Earth. It's not. Let me tell you. If, in fact, you choose to show up early tomorrow for work, you come 5 minutes early. Typically, everyone's 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. Hey, sorry. Hey, understand. Oh, man, flat tire. Oh, traffic goes back to school. Okay, I understand. You're the guy who comes up early. Why would you do that? One reason. If Jesus was your literal boss, not figuratively speaking, if he was your literal boss, what time would you show up for work? Jesus was your boss. If Jesus was your boss, would you stop by Dunkin' Donuts and bring him a coffee and a half a dozen or a few munchkins? Would you? Jesus, my boss, I'm going to Starbucks. No D&D for Jesus. All right, so let me ask you a question. You buy your boss coffee, bring it and say, hey, I came a little early. Here's a little coffee for him. I would never do that. He is such a... Whoa, wait. He is such an instrument in the hand of God to teach you how to serve Jesus. Did you understand how it works? Now, every employer here is going, preach it, Coy, preach it. Of course they are, and I'll tell you why, and it's a sad footnote and commentary on our business ethic. Too often times we're so heavenly minded, we're no worldly good. And some have said, well, you can't be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. I understand, but there's got to be a balance. And here's the balance. I'm working on planet Earth, but my mind is on the kingdom. So I'm serving Jesus Christ in what I do. Why? Oh, I can't say I'm serving Calvary Chapel or serving you or serving the board here or serving the deacons or serving the elders. Yes, in part I am. But if I limit it to planet Earth, I will miss my reason, man. Why should I? Because he cares. Because I'm serving him. And if Solomon in this condition misses that point, what happens? Well, his compass is broken. He's disconnected from God. There's more. Back with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Pick it up this time in verse 4. One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Here's the way that reads in a New Living Translation. Generations come and go, but nothing really changes. Let me say that to you again. Generations come and go, but nothing really changes. Now a little more like Eeyore.
Generations come and go, nothing really changes.
What's the problem, Eeyore? Well, everything's always the same. Generations come and go, come and go, come and go. You're in a backslidden state, or close to it if, write this one down, if in fact time is so trying to you. Time is not a valued commodity. Time is something that you don't mind wasting. Why? I just want it to pass. I just want it to pass. And you find yourself saying this, it doesn't matter. Why should I? Who cares? You're in a backslidden state when, of course, blessings seem as a baggage. Work doesn't seem worth it. And time is so trying. I hate my job, you say. I have to go to work tomorrow. Thanks for mentioning it, Coy. You hate it that much?
Yeah.
Is there any high point in your day?
Lunch.
Yeah, I make my own lunch, and tomorrow I got a pudding cup. In fact, even the thought of my pudding cup just, I don't know, may not be a bad day after all. You know, on Thursday I bring a pudding cup, and when I come home, 24's on. Is it Thursday or is it? Oh, you're being strangely silent, aren't you? Why, you know me. I'm going to make a point. And the point is, if the high spots in your day are the TV menu and a pudding cup, your compass is broken. Why? He says, generations come and go, nothing really changes. That's not true. That's just plain not true. That's why sometimes we don't quote Ecclesiastes like it's the heart of God. Why? Things change all the time. Oh, I'm watching my son and daughter grow in God's grace and become more a little girl into a little lady. I'm seeing my son make decisions in his life that I'm proud of. I'm seeing changes in your life. I'm seeing changes in our community. A lot of things change. But if in fact I'm disconnected, if in fact my compass is broken.
Why, man? I mean, come on, why should I? It doesn't matter. Who really cares? I don't really care.
Can I read something to you? I'm gonna, even if you don't want me to. Pastor's privilege. Jot it down. Don't need to turn there. Ephesians 5 and 14. Therefore, he says, that's God says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Listen to this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now that word for redeeming the time can also be translated buying it back or rescuing it from loss. You see, you only really have a little time here on planet Earth. In fact, James writes, our life is yet but a vapor. It appears for a while and then it's gone. He says, don't waste your time and don't so lack in life that the high point of your day is a pudding cup or a TV show. Why do I say that so passionately? Well, because on my return, I'm reading through my email, and I see there's one from a sister here in the fellowship who is in contact with a family from our fellowship who moved not long ago. And mommy's health is deteriorating. She's back home now. Hospice is caring for her. They have a couple of little kids, 8 and 6. And I talked to dad. I got a little emotional on the phone yesterday. Because I quite honestly don't know how I do that. Time. I guarantee you, although you may not feel this way right now, in the near future, and it'll be nearer for some of you than you'd like it to be, you'll want it back. You're going to want the time back. And you're going to say, how did I waste this valued commodity? Not doing the things that were more or most important, but just letting it pass me by. How? Sometimes it's just turning on the tube. And rather than doing the thing that you know you could do, it's kind of like this natural default. We flip it on, and next thing you know, you get this TV tube face where it just seems to suck the strength out of you. And next thing you know, you just, what am I, it just seems to pull you out. And now you're heading to bed, and you have your head filled with all kinds of thoughts. Like, what did I do with my night? Well, maybe I can cheer myself up. And some of you will flip on Leno or Letterman to kind of cheer yourself up. And lately, it's been a little bit more crass and sexual and content. And you go, I feel defiled. And you go to bed, and you're hoping to find that peace. You wake up in the morning, you go, what did I do with my night? I know exactly what you did with your night. And I'm saying you can't, because some of the most important parts of life, the meaning of life is just passing you by. My little 8-year-old girl, she comes home this week with the little recorder, you know, Tonette, and she is so excited about making noise with this thing. And she goes up in her room, and she's up there for I don't know how long, and she has taken the notes, and she's transferred them to a page or a few pages. She's written a symphony is what she's done, and now there's a 7 o'clock performance in her room. And she set up this little table, and she's gotten herself all dolled up with a little necklace, and she's now presenting me, you know, kind of a thing. And there's chairs for me and my wife and for Christian, and I ask her if I can videotape, and she says, no flash photography. You know, it's one of those things where it's just one of those magic moments. I got the camera on, and as she's playing, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and the camera's rolling, I reach over and grab my wife's hand. Why? Here's why. She's 8 today. Tomorrow, should the Lord tarry, she's going to be 30. Probably live in someplace else, have her own family. And my little girl's going to grow up so fast. I'm going to want that time. I had a father and son conversation with my boy last week, and at 10 years old, as we begin to exchange on a very important matter of life, I walked back into where my wife was sitting. I said, I wanted that on videotape. His heart is so precious. His heart is so pure. I don't want to lose these moments in life. You see, when what matters most, you seize them. You cherish them. You hold them tight. But if TV creeps into the greater part of your life, and the high point again is a sandwich, your compass is broken. Your disconnect from God. Generation come, generation goes. The earth stays. Everything the same. So what? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Back to Ecclesiastes.
Verse 5, the sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south. It turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually. It comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea's not full, to the place from which the rivers come. There they return again.
Your attention? What is Solomon talking about? What is Solomon doing? It's the equivalent of watching the Weather Channel, okay? And what he's discovered with the wisdom God has given to him as a gift is he's discovered evaporation, disbursement, the system of movement. It is cycle after season, cycle after season. And yet with this understanding, he says, So what? I see all this happen. Water goes up, water comes down, returns to where it's at. And it's as if there's not this, man, I never saw that. Oh, man, I never knew that. Now, I realize, and you will admit with me, that there are a handful of things in life that you do say, so what about? And I'm not going to bother you about your favorite TV program, but every once in a while I'll flip channels. I'll see Jeopardy. You ever have Alex ask a question? You see all these guys scramble for the buttons. They get it right and you say, who cares? Or so what? Do you know that there's an international Jeopardy week? They get all the brightest brains from around the world. Now it's the brilliant of the brilliant. Not just folks from the United States. No, we got Germany and we got France and we got China. Everybody who's really smart's there. All right, Alex asks, who was king, fourth dynasty, after Ptolemy? Beep, 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 beep. Charles! Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Oh, come on, Bob. Ease up now. Come on. No, no, no. Here's the point I'm saying. There is some information we should care a lot about, other information we should care so much about. And it seems to me when you're disconnected from God, when you're in a backslidden state, there's a reversal that happens. You care about those things you don't have to care about, and you don't care about those things you should care about. Here's the way the Bible puts it. Just take note. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Listen to this. I love it. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Listen again. The wisdom of this age and the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. It's an embarrassment to me that we dig deep into the book Ecclesiastes. I say, hey, pick up your shovel, bite into this, chomp into this, make sure you're digging deep. And some people, not important to them. Can I just remind you in a very loving way, this is the knowledge you're going to take to the kingdom. Ball scores won't matter. The Tigers going through a struggle right now, won't matter. Yankees, beat by who? Not going to matter. Dolphins preseason, sorry, won't matter. Solomon, his wisdom. The Bible says we should take the Solomon wisdom that we're getting right now, seek after it, find it, dig for it. You know, it's supposed to be this adventure, this looking for treasure, this, oh, I need another morsel for my mind. I need another word of wisdom. I need, why? This is the stuff that changes who you are and whether or not you satisfy life, whether or not you have just a couple of knots that don't take too much effort, whether or not your life is completely snarled. But what I have found too often, people will say at this point, is so what? And when you say so what, when you've lost that sense of discovery or adventure in the things of God, don't make the mistake. Please don't make the mistake. And then finally, the fifth point, back to Ecclesiastes. Now in verse 8, we read, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. That's true. The ear not filled with healing or hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Verse 9 in a New Living Translation, history merely repeats itself. Verse 10, is there anything of which it may be said? See, this is new. It's already been done in ancient times before us. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. And in other words, what is he saying? Big deal. Big deal. Nothing's new. Big deal. Somebody shows him, hey, look, I got a new car. Big deal. Hey, look, a new baby. Big deal. I've seen babies before. Hey, look, my kid lost a tooth. Big deal. Kids lose teeth. What's the big deal? You ever have somebody have that kind of attitude? Big deal. Big deal. Who cares? So what? It doesn't matter. Why worry? What is this spirit? Well, again, it comes to that place where, fifth and finally, if you're a note taker, fun has become frustrating to you. You're not having fun anymore. You're not even enjoying life right now. Anything that would be fun is not fun because you seem to focus on the labor or the effort involved rather than the fruit or the joy involved. I remember the first boat. Some of you guys have a boat. Remember the first maiden voyage? There was a pilot in our church some 15 years ago. He worked for Delta. He had some free time. He bought this hull in Miami, CV, put this Volvo Penta 280 in it, center console, open fish. I mean, it was just this boat. We work on nights, put the thing together. Finally, now we're going out. Hillsborough Inlet, the hull is smashing those waves. You can hear the clatter of the lures on the poles. It's early in the morning. The sun's cresting in the horizon. Here, fishy, come on. Man, it's power. The men know what I'm talking about right here. A few of the sisters, the real sisters, know also what I'm talking about. But what happened? Well, we went in together with a few guys, and now they're not paying, and boat comes back, and it's covered with sea salt, and got to scrub it, got to wash it. Reels start to rust because we're keeping it close to the intercoastal. Exhaust manifolds break. Now it's $800. And now somebody busts the front of the boat. I go, hey, why did you put that in the log? Get a log. If you're going to break the boat while you got it out, what happens? My wife asked me a sincere question in a very, very diplomatic way. Hey, how's the boat finance thing going? Is everybody chipping in? Well, not like they were. So you're spending a lot more money. Well, honey, come on. Keep in mind, we're buying, you know, we're spending money on a boat, but we're getting a lot of fish, and we eat the fish, and we're providing for the family and that kind of thing. Well, that's interesting about getting fish to provide for the family. You know, that one dolphin you caught, now, if you add up all the money you spent on the boat, and guys, don't do that with your wives. You add up all the boat money, you know what's going to happen? You're going to discover that fillet, that dolphin fillet, it's like worth 12 grand. Every bite's $500. But it's all a matter of focus. Guys, I'll redeem it. And I know you're waiting for me to. Here's what I discovered. That boat wasn't so much about fishing. It was much more about fellowship. And not just fellowship with the brothers that were on the boat. No, I had some of my most memorable moments in the middle of the sea with the Lord. Oh, that boat was worth every penny. Guys, you happy? Okay. Now, but you see, it's a matter of focus. It's all a matter of focus. My daughter learned to ride her bike while on vacation. In fact, she just learned to ride her bike. And yesterday morning early, I put all the bikes on one of those racks, four of them. Went over to local park. It was really hot out. In fact, I think it was the hottest day on record yesterday morning. Because I was sweating. And we went to a park that we thought was going to be like, oh, clear sailing. At least she can learn to ride. And it was softball or baseball season, I think, for the entire city of Coral Springs on that one park place. So it's stop. Kate, break. Stop. And the frustration, you know, finally, put the bikes back. We're going home. Dad's got to study the Bible. More frustration than fun. It's focus. If you can see that little pink bottom and that little those pigtails, whoa, Dad, I'm doing it. If you can see that and focus on that, then all the heat and frustration disappears. That's what moms and dads do. You don't focus on, oh, he backtalked to me one more time, or that grade, or you know what he did to the car, or he came home too late. That's not what you focus on. You focus on those times where they come over and put their arms around, you're the best dad in the whole wide world. It was Friday night, and we had done the whole bike ride thing. We'd come back to the house, and it was getting late, and my son turned to me, and he said, hey, Dad, you see the frogs in the yard? Want to catch them? For what? What are we going to do with them? You forget too quickly when you're my age what it was like to be 10. He goes, just to see how many we can get. I said, Christian, come on. We just got back from bike riding. Dad's tired. Got a big day tomorrow. Can we? And he stopped me. He said, stop. He goes, look at me. And I go, what? He goes, what one thing could I say or do to change your mind for this one time in life? You just did it. Let's go. So here's what happened. We get a couple of nets, and we get this bucket. And because we've got these landscape lights, they're right there. And so you go, hey, come on, go down. Now, while you're trying to put them in, there's others getting out. And what does it happen? We end up, listen, we end up filling a bucket of frogs. We got a whole bucket, and they're trying to pop out. I got my finger on the top, and he's got more. And I go, I don't think we can fill it anymore. It's a bucket full of frogs. What are we going to do with them? I don't know. Can we sell them? I don't know. Stinks. We can't bring them in the house. I know that stinks. Put them in the pool. Can't put them in the pool. What are we going to do with them? Let's let them all out. Okay, let's let them all out. Now, it's late. I don't know how I got caught up in this thing. Next thing you know, the lid's off, and we're counting them as they jump out. Wow, look at that guy. Wow, look at that guy. And as we're walking into the house, he turns to me and goes, Dad, stop. You're the best dad in the whole wide world. I had to pick up frogs, put them in a dumb bucket. You know what happens when you pick up a frog. First thing, it's a mess. The nets got messy. The bucket was about to break. It's hot outside. What are you focusing on? Dad, stop it. Mom, what are you doing? Oh, I know the problem. Your compass is broken. You're disconnected from God. You see, if in fact your vocabulary has been filled with who cares, big deal, so what, it doesn't matter, why should I? It's this right here. It's a broken compass. I actually have one. It's a broken compass. Now, it wasn't supposed to be. I asked Rod, my assistant, to buy me one for a positive illustration. Because we're tight on a budget with Until the Whole World Hears, he spent $4, and this is what you get. It's made in China. I don't know if there's some kind of conspiracy, and they sell us these things to send all the Americans in different directions, but I can't get north on this thing. I'm serious. And it was supposed to be a positive point. I go, hey, this is a pretty good compass for $4, but it's not pointing north. That's a problem. Now, here's the strange thing that it does. The minute you think it's north, because I happen to know north is facing toward the cross, I happen to know that. But the minute you think you're going good, and if you turn this way, now the thing is pointing that way. And about the time you go, well, the north's this way, if you should turn this way to just test it, it goes where you want to go. Rather than tell, now it's pointing this way. Now north is this way on this compass. I see north this way. I see China now my way. And it's a problem here. What is that problem? It's a problem we all have. Your life is snarled and tangled. You're going in circles. You don't have any real direction. I say to you, will you please place this bag in the hand of God and give him some space? And you won't do it. And I say your life is lacking, your life is less, and until you release it to him, oh, he said it better. Jesus said in Matthew 10:29, if you find your life and keep it for your sake, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the sake of the gospel, you're going to find it. You want to find north? Give your life to Christ. He'll put you on the right direction. You will be satisfied. You want to consume yourself with your own way? You will. Why? Oh, for homework, it's Proverbs 14:14. Proverbs 14:14 for homework. It reads this way. It reads, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. In a newer translation, it reads, backsliders get what they deserve, but good people receive reward. Now, here's the crazy thing about Proverbs 14:14. Solomon wrote it. When he's got connection to God, when he's got his compass working, he says, man, what a revelation. If I am disconnected, if my compass is broken, I get what I deserve. And that's empty wandering, fruitless living, frustrating existence. I know that when I'm connected. When I'm disconnected and I let the lures in life have an effect on me, women, hangouts, party, I'm not going to cut it. Please, 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 my prayer for you today, give the bag to Jesus. Give him the bag. Give him some space. Let him unknot, untwist, untangle, and watch and see what the finished product will look like. When you do, you will be so thankful, so grateful. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you for the healthy, holy reminder. We can't do this thing life without you. And yet so often, too often, we'll still try. God, as we admit the mistake, we know it's the beginning of true change. For without the acknowledgement, there will not be another opportunity. You'll not lead us on paths of righteousness for your name's sake until we have in fact repented. So help us this day, God. Repent. Turn around. Get right. Stay straight. God, help us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. The ushers and deacons are going to pass out the communion elements. We'll be here for a few more minutes, but I can't think of a better way to set your compass heading north. But then to have in your hand the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to eat and drink and acknowledge his goodness and give his grace a chance to once again change your life. Now here, listen. When you get the elements in your hand, don't eat and drink them right away. Pastor Clay's going to lead us in a worship song. I'll have a word of prayer for us, and then we'll partake together. Pastor Clay. In your hand, once again, the body and blood of the Lord. And yet when I say once again, that single truth might be a bit bothersome. Why? Well, if you've attended here any length of time, you know we do this about once a month. So once a month you have the chance to say, hey God, I'm really sorry. I want to do better. Please help me. And then And then sometimes we go out and do the same dumb thing we did the month before. And at some point, it feels a little hypocritical. You know how many times I've told my wife I love her? Only to find that some circumstance or situation caused her to be anger or hostility. I have to come back, apologize. Hey, I'm sorry. I love you. Do you think she tires? If she senses sincerity, if she knows my heart beats with the hope of true change, there's automatic acceptance. If that is true on a human level, how much greater on a heavenly level? Here's why I know. What you have in your hand right now represents to us what hung on the cross. And that death, so perfect, the provision, the blood that was shed, completely cleanses every and any sin. So when you say in your own heart, oh Lord, here I am again. Again, what did you do wrong? Well, you know what I said last month. Last month. No, Bobby. I cast your sins as far as east is from west. I remember them no more. Oh, it's fresh for me. Why? It's fresh today when you allow the freshness of His Holy Spirit to take this moment and make it new again. Nothing new under the sun? No. That's not true. No, there's a new chance right now provided for every new creation in Christ. All things are new. The past is the past. Come on. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. If He was to hold our sins against us, David declared, who could stand before God? No one could. I can't. But He doesn't. He forgives and He forgets. So perfectly pure His blood, so perfectly pure His forgiveness. So when you hold these in your hands today, if your compass is not broken, if you're not disconnected from God, you go, oh, thank you, Jesus, once again, for the opportunity for your spirit to work from within. We don't think about whether or not we can. We know we can because this is what makes His grace so amazing. It's so amazing. Please, go to the Lord, just the two of you, right now. Confess your sins. Share open your heart. Man, when you've done kingdom business, when you've accomplished that act of connection, eat and drink and celebrate the fact that He loves you that much to bring you here today and give you another chance to change. I'll do the same.
Thanks for listening to this presentation of The Active Word, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. For further information about The Active Word with Pastor Bob Coy, write to us at P.O. Box 5767, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33310. Or call us at 1-877-444-WORD or you can contact us online at activeword.org.